Blog Talk Radio.
About the message that he has for you, because he had it for me. I'm excited. Oh my gosh, I'm so excited. But more importantly, I am overwhelmed with gratefulness. I am so grateful to the Lord because he is so faithful. He is so faithful. He has not failed me. He has not left me nor forsaken me. Even in the midst of the fire, God is with me. And so I know he's with you too, because he sent me on tonight to give you a message. Yes, you. If you're listening to this call on tonight, then this message is for you like it was for me. And it's a message of encouragement. It's a message of hope. It's a mess. Oh, my gosh. He wants you to know how much he loves you. And he wants you to know some things that you have to be aware of. Many of you that's listening in on tonight, you're probably listening in on tonight because maybe you listen every Thursday night. But there are some listening in on tonight because they just been provoked to call. Something said you need to hear this message on tonight. And you are here tonight by divine appointment. It's not by accident that you are listening in on tonight's show. It's not by accident what you're going to hear tonight. This is not Coach D. So I ask you right now to take out your imagination and don't look at this as this is Coach D, because guess what? Coach D has flaws. I have flaws and I have faults, but I want you to know that I have submitted myself on tonight. I have died to self because I want the Spirit of God to come through and minister to you tonight and give you something tangible that you could take with you during this week, something that you could utilize this week. And I believe that you're going to get that on tonight. I not believe it, I know through faith, without a shadow of a doubt, that you will get exactly what you came here for too on tonight. So I'm excited. I want to welcome you in the studio on tonight. For those that's listening live and for those that's listening through the internet, welcome on tonight. Tonight's message is consumed but not condemned. Consumed but not condemned. Earlier today, I asked the question through social media. I asked people, in the last few weeks, have you felt like you ran through hell with gasoline drawers on? I know, that's a slang, but I'm going to keep it real on tonight. And if you're not ready for the raw, then this may not be for you tonight, but I'm just going to keep it raw because we need to get some stuff. And I can't be super-duper spiritual on tonight. I can't be holy, holy, holier than thou on tonight. There is something going on in the spiritual realm on the earth, and God's children are experiencing it. God's children have been heavy. There's been a turmoil. You've been tossing and turning. You feel like your head it is in the cloud. You feel like you don't have great visibility. You feel like you don't know what direction you're going. And if you're like me, there's been some times in this last 90 days that I said, God, where are you? Are you still with me? And I don't know about you, but I've experienced that, and I'm sure that some of you listening in on tonight have experienced that very thing too. So I've been in quiet time. I've been in prayer, and on top of trying to do everything else, I've been feeling consumed. I've been feeling overwhelmed, and I've been like, Lord, where are you? I don't know what's up or down. I don't know about to stay, if I should go, if I'm here or there. I don't know, Father, and I need you. I don't even know if I could present anything to your people because I feel flawed. I feel like I'm missing the mark. I feel like I felt so many different emotions on this last week. And we know we can't go by feelings, but I'm sharing what I felt in the natural, the things that I started feeling. And I did. I felt totally disconnected. All the way up until today, I felt disconnected. And that's why I say God is faithful, because even today I was like, what do you want me to tell your people? Really? Because I wasn't getting any revelation the whole week, no revelation. And I didn't know what he wanted to tell people. And I thought, Lord, I'm not even worthy to bring a message to your people. And in the midst of that, and in the midst of me seeking, and in the midst of me crying, and I'm the biggest crybaby, and in the midst of me crying and snotting and begging and asking God what? Father, show yourself. And I tell you every time I say, Father, show yourself, he shows himself. And he shows himself, and he lets me know and reminds me that revelation is where he's at right now. Now. Not what he's, truth is what he's done. Truth is where he's been. But revelation is where he's at right now. And so he gave me the message on tonight, consumed but not condemned. What does that mean, Coach D? He took me to Exodus, and I'm going to read a little bit because I have to set the foundation. So if you will, be patient with me because I have to set the foundation to build on so you can really get it, and I think you're going to be blessed, especially if you've been going through, especially if it feels like all hell is breaking out in your life and you're trying to understand why, especially if you felt disconnected. I believe you're going to get it. So he took me to Exodus chapter 24, and I'm going to read verses 12 through 18, and I'm going to read out of the Amplified Bible. Again, that's Exodus chapter 24, verses 12 through 18, and I'm going to read out of the Amplified Bible. So take notes if you like. And it says, starting with verse 12, "Now the Lord said to Moses, 'Come up to me on the mountain and stay there. I will give you the stone tablets with the law and the commandments which I have written for their instruction.' So Moses arose with Joshua, his attendant, and he went up to the mountain of God. And he said to the elders, 'Wait here for us until we come back to you. Remember that Aaron and Hur are here with you. Whoever has a legal matter, let him go to them.' Then Moses went up to the mountain, and the cloud covered the mountain." I'm going to say that again. "Then Moses went up to the mountain, and the cloud covered the mountain. The glory and brilliance of the Lord rested on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it for 6 days. On the seventh day, God called to Moses from the midst of the cloud. In the sight of the Israelites, the appearance of the glory and brilliance of the Lord was like consuming fire on top of the mountain. Moses entered the midst of the cloud and went up the mountain, and he was on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights." So as I read that, I began to, okay, Lord, what does this mean? Why are you taking me here? And so he had me begin to break down. Three words he gave me: clouds, he gave me smoke, and he gave me fire. Amen. Clouds, smoke, and fire. Now I'm going to try to take this slow because I think my point tonight is going to be so on point that it may not even take the whole hour. But I believe you're going to get it. So he gave me the three words, and I'm going to start off with clouds because I'm going to start off in the natural. Because when we're going through things in life, it's never, oftentimes our first response is never spiritual. When we're going through things in life, our first response is always natural. We see the natural, the logic in everything, what's going on. And so when I thought about clouds, what naturally is a cloud? Naturally, clouds cause you to have limited visibility. And generally, when it's cloudy, it comes with adverse weather. Adverse weather could be rain, normally it's cold temperatures, maybe even some storms. You risk getting wet with the cloudiness, and some feel a spirit of slumber. So I know when it's cloudy outside, to me, I get lazy. I get complacent. And it just the doom and the gloom of that cloudy day sets in. And gloomy, which is described as a feeling of distress or depression, it may even give you a spirit of pessimistic, maybe even a little frightening and dark. Normally, that's what clouds represent to us. It's cloudy. It's gloomy. You know, it's tiring. All you want to do in most cases, you hear people say, "I just want to go home, lock the door, and get on my couch with a good book, a good movie, and a nice comforter." That's what clouds normally represent to us. And so he told me, break out in the natural what clouds mean. So it took me back to the scripture in verses 16 where he spoke about the midst of the clouds, where he spoke about Moses going up into the clouds and waiting there. And so I'm just imagining in the natural what that looked like. Can you imagine going out on a very cloudy day? You could barely see in front of you. You could barely see your hand in front of you. It's normally gloomy. It's dark. It's kind of eerie. It's an eerie feeling. So I started imagining that. And then I started thinking about certain things in my life that I was experiencing over the last few weeks or period. And I started thinking about, you know, not having a visibility of my purpose or the plans that God had for me, seeming to have limited visibility where I couldn't see clearly the direction and that where I was going. How many of you felt like that? Lord, where are you taking me? I thought I was going one way, and then all of a sudden the path turned. It curved. And now I find myself having limited visibility. I can't see the end of the path anymore. I thought I got a glimpse. I thought I seen a vision, but now I see that it's cloudy. I can't see clear. And then God took me to smoke. And when I started understanding the natural attributes of smoke, if I want to call them attributes, it also causes a lack of visibility. And if anyone knows anything about smoke, if you are consumed with smoke, it will cause an inflammation of the bronchial tubes. This will result in coughing. You possibly will even begin to choke. It's a natural reflex. And depending on how thick the smoke, it can carry other particles and debris in the air. Now, many of us may have not experienced the smoke of a fire, but if you're in the midst of a fire, a house burning down, or a building burning down, or something burning, in that smoke from the fire, the smoke, there's debris. If you look at your fireplace and you light a fireplace and you put a log in, and as beautiful as this fire is, the illumination of the fire is very romantic for people. It's very relaxing. But in the midst of that fire, you'll see debris. You'll see the crackling of the wood that begins to go up in the smoke. And it's debris. And if you ever walked in the midst of a fire, consuming fire, there's debris in the smoke. Think about 9/11 when you've seen that on TV, though you may not be in there personally, but you've seen from the TV that there were people walking through all this smoke, and they had the ashes of the things that were burning that had already been consumed by the fire, and they had the ashes covering them, and some of them were coughing, and debris was in the air. And years, decades later, people began to find out that the ones who survived began to find out that they had all kind of sicknesses and disease because of the inhaling of that smoke and the debris that was in the smoke. And many have passed on because of the sickness and disease that smoke caused. So we know that in life, sometimes our life comes with smoke. And I'm not talking about just a natural, but we come with smoke sometimes. And what's the smoke? Smoke in our lives could be that of a loss of a spouse, a loss of a job. Smoke in our lives could be an illness that has overcome us. These could be the smokes in our lives, and it causes us to lose visibility. And the same thing with losing visibility is you lose a sense of hope. You feel hopeless. You feel like you're so consumed with this smoke that you can't breathe. You feel choked out. And life has a way of choking us out at times. You know, maybe we were expecting something, and it didn't manifest. And now we feel choked out. Many of us may feel like, oh, my gosh, I have bills to pay. But I've had a loss of income. And now I feel choked out. Life is choking me. So many things can happen in our lives that start making us feel like we can't breathe. We just can't consume what's going on. And that's the smoke. And the thing about smoke is this. The choking and the coughing, sometimes the smoke will irritate our eyes and cause our eyes to water because of the irritation. See, those are the simplistic things. And this is what I want to tell you. So what? You may have lost an income. So what? You may be going through some things. You might have lost a spouse or a job. Not I'm not taking it lightly, nor does God. But what he wants you to know is that it didn't kill you. And don't take for granted, because smoke can kill you. Inhaling smoke at an enormous amount could kill you. Many people have died from smoke. As a matter of fact, smoke inhalation is the primary cause of death in a house fire or a building fire. Most people die from the smoke before they ever get touched by the fire. I'm going to repeat that. Most people die from the smoke before they ever get touched by the fire. And so he wants you to know on tonight that you cannot allow the smoke to consume you and overtake you. Because if you allow it, meaning give up hope. If you give up hope, you could die. There's people that give up hope and they feel like they have nothing to live for. And maybe you may not die a physical death, and some do, but you'll die a spiritual death. And many of us are going through life spiritually dead. We've lost hope. We're angry at God. We don't trust them no more because of life circumstances and situations. And so we're walking around angry and we're hurt, and I'm not going to go to church because I don't want to go to church because the last time I went to church, that sister looked at me crazy, or she didn't let me sit where I wanted to sit, or the pastor talked about me shacking up. See, we always want to get mad about something. And then when we get mad about something in the natural, we want to take it out on God in the spiritual. We want to disconnect. So he's saying, don't allow the smoke in your life to cause you to be consumed to the point where you disconnect from him. Because he tells us in his word that he would never leave us nor forsake us. But we oftentimes leave God. And he said, don't let the smoke of life consume you. Don't inhale so much of it to the point where it takes your breath, that it takes your hope, that it takes your life. Amen. Fire. We all know what fire is. And fire is in the natural will burn you. It causes great pain and suffering. And it causes irreversible damage. Oftentimes when you see somebody that's been burnt, even though that surface may heal, there's normally a scar that's always left. I mean, we burnt ourselves with, women will know what I mean when I say this, we burnt ourselves with pressing combs a million times. We burnt ourselves with curling irons. Men, you know, you burnt yourself with irons and hot skillets and popping grease. And everywhere where you burnt yourself, it may not be a great scar, and it may not be very noticeable, but it's still a scar because it removes a certain layer of your skin there. And when that heals, it leaves a little darkening. It leaves a little scar. So it's irreversible damage. But even worse, we know that fire could also consume you and cause death. Now, the Bible speaks about fire often, but generally in the Bible, when it speaks about fire, it speaks about the very presence of God. It does speak about fire in Sodom and Gomorrah, where the town was destroyed by fire. You know, fire can destroy. We know that. But in the essence of from a spiritual standpoint, fire is the very presence of the Holy Spirit, the presence of God. And we see in the Bible on multiple occasions in Exodus chapter 3, where he spoke about the burning bush, that the bush was consumed with fire. It was covered with fire, but it never burnt because the presence of God was there. And so as I began to read this and I began to just break it down, what I began to understand is that though we go through fire in life, though the clouds and the smoke come in our life and it begins to distract us, it begins to hurt us, it begins to cause temporary illnesses, and maybe in some cases even temporary separation. The one thing I think I want you to get on tonight, and I believe God wants you to get on tonight, is he wants you to be encouraged. Because the closer you stay connected to God, the closer you stay vertically connected, The more you stay in his word, the more you pray, praise, and worship, the very presence of God is in your life, and he will not allow you to be consumed and taken and burnt by the fires of life. Amen. He is there in the presence. His presence will not allow you to be destroyed. So whatever you've been going through this week, this year, last year, whatever those things are, whether it was a loss of family, whether it was loss of income, whatever that thing is, he wants you to know that as long as you stay connected to him, as long as you are a child of God, that his very presence in your life will not allow you to be destroyed by the clouds, the smoke, or the fire and light. He said it may feel hot, and don't always take it as fire that's going to be destroying you, because sometimes he allows us to be in the fire. Why you say that, Coach D? Because it says in ancient times there was a form of what they call refining, and this involved a craftsman sitting next to a hot fire with molten gold in a crucible being stirred and skimmed to remove the impurities. So the fire was used to remove the impurities of this molten gold. And that impurities then will rise up to the top. And the results of doing this process got the gold as pure as 99.99%. And you know where I'm going with this. You may be going through some fires that is not the enemy at all. This fire that you may be going through may be the very presence of God in your life, and he is sending you through a process. He is sending you through a process to move the impurities in your life. My revelation on today for Coach D was this, that the fire that I've been feeling for the last few weeks was indeed the presence of God in my life, removing some things. And we all got those things. He's removing some things on the inside of us because where he's calling us to go. You may be called to start a ministry. You may be called to start a business. But because of some imperfections, because of some flaws, you haven't been able to move forward. You've been at a standstill, stagnant. And you're stagnant because there's some things that you're holding on to that won't let you go where God is trying to take you, honey. And so the fire you're feeling, the disconnect, the loneliness, the isolation, the cloudy days, the smoke, that's God beginning to remove some garbage off of you. And when he get through removing this garbage, you'll be pure gold, 99.999%. And some of you know that's called lean process, because, you know, when you're going through the lean principles, lean process, it teaches you about removing waste. It teaches you about Six Sigma teaches you about eliminating waste to increase productivity. And it's saying quality. It's speaking quality. And how do we know what's quality? And it talks about quality in, meaning good in, good out. Good in, good out. Removing things that's not valuable. And I know I may not be saying that exactly right, but you that knows that there is a process of elimination, and it gets to a point that you are operating in 99.99%. So I thought that was really weird that as I began to read this, that this was what the revelation that God was giving me about the process of refining and removing impurities. And so we all have impurities. Why? Because we're in the flesh. We were born into sin, and we operate in the flesh. We're spiritual beings having a human experience. So we're operating in the flesh, so there, that's impurity right there. That's an issue. That's a flaw. And that's a flaw that we're going to have as long as we're in this body. But there's things that he is removing from us that can be removed, even in this body. You know, some of us have issues with murmuring and complaining. Some of us have issues with maybe not telling truth. You know, some of us may have issue with lust. There are so many different issues that different people deal with. And I would say to you that that doesn't mean that you're separated from God. It means that you need to get just closer to God so that he could begin to work on you, that he could begin to create a clean heart in you and renew a right spirit, so that he could begin to perfect you for what he's called you to, because you're perfect for what he's called you to. You're perfect for what he's called you to. You've heard the saying that says, for every vision, he gives provision. Well, I tell you, he's ready to work some things through for you. But you can't, if there's some things you can't hold on to, he's telling you need to get rid of them. And oftentimes when we find ourselves the cloudiest, when we find the most smoke, when we see the most fire, generally is when we're holding on to something that he told us not to hold on to, that he's asked us to let go of, and we're refusing to let go, so we're struggling with him. He's trying to take it, and we're trying to keep it. And, you know, just imagine in the natural, a tug of war. Somebody's pulling this way, and somebody else is pulling that way. And oftentimes, that's what we do with God. We become a tug of war with God, where he's trying to take it, and we're trying to keep it, and it becomes a tug of war. And in that tug of war, things get smoky, things get cloudy, things get, and if we don't let go, and if we still try to hold on, we risk fire. We risk damage. We risk maybe irreversible damage. We may even risk death. How many people have died? You know, let's deal with maybe a drug abuse. I'm using that because that's something everybody could see. But let's say a drug abuse that God may have been dealing with a person on and said, stop, don't do that. No. And for years he's been telling them, stop, don't do that. Don't do that, stop. And they continued because they didn't want to let go. Didn't mean they didn't love God, but they loved that thing more. And as a result of them not letting it go and giving it to God, it produced a physical death. Because it says sin is separation. Sin produces death. Spiritually, and it can produce death physically. So, what is that thing that you're holding on to that's not allowing you to move and be obedient to where God is telling you to move to? What is that thing? That's between you and God. Because the fire that you're going through is one of two things. It's either the refining to get rid of the impurities in you, or either it's for destruction. And I believe on tonight that God would have you to know, if you're listening in on tonight, that it's not destruction. He's trying to remove some impurities from you. He's trying to refine you. He's trying to prepare you because you are right for the call that he's sending you for, but you're not ripe. You are right, but you're not ripe. And he's trying to ripen you. He's trying to get you ready to do what it is that he's called you to do. And it's not comfortable. Because believe it or not, there's a lot of us that have gotten comfortable with our heads being in the cloud. There's a lot of us that have chosen to be unconscious in life. We don't want to see nothing. We don't want to hear nothing. And so our perception, our visibility has been cloudy. And so we can't even do what God has told us to do because we can't see it. And they say you can't do what you can't see. Well, if your head is in the cloud, you can't see. You can't see enough to do. And God is trying to tell you, I need your head. I need to bring you up out the cloud. I need you to come from up out the cloud. I need you to become conscious. Because I need you to fulfill the Great Commission. I need you to go out and tell people about the gospel. I need you to get out there and tell your testimony, the goodness of God in your life. Somebody is waiting to hear that, and they're waiting on you because you're the only person that could deliver it to them. And because you got your head in the cloud and you fighting God because you don't want to get rid of that thing, that person that's hopeless, that's dying, that's being burnt, and you the only person that could put out that fire, they're going to die. Ooh, that's a heavy burden, huh, to take on, that somebody might die because of your disobedience. Well, guess what? Because of one man's disobedience, it brought sin upon the world. And because of another man's obedience, we have the redemptive plan of salvation. So I say to you, are you doing what God's called you to do? Or are you in the cloud? Do you have your head in the cloud? Do you find yourself being consumed with the smokes of this life, choking and coughing? What does that mean for us? What does this message mean? What is it telling you? Do you hear what God is saying to you? Exodus chapter 24, verses 12 through 18. He's telling us in this message that if we look at it in the natural, then we're dealing with the clouds, the smoke, and the fire. But if we look at it in the spiritual, it's saying in here that God is a consuming fire. And when his presence is in our lives, matter of fact, whether you know it or not, up to today, you're on this call because of God's very presence in your life, because of the grace of God that's kept you. And the fires haven't destroyed you. His mercy, unmerited favor. But is God's grace always going to be there for you? You know, it speaks about it in his word when he tells us that our disobedience, at some point, he turns us over to a reprobate mind. Is that what we want? This is not a message of condemnation, because it says consume but not condemn. This is a message of hope, that no matter what you're going through and what you've been going through this week, he hasn't left you nor forsaken you. He's been there with you. He's trying to prepare you. And just because it gets hot and cloudy and smoky, he's saying, don't run from him. Moses very well could have been so afraid of the gloominess of the clouds. He could have been so afraid by the smoke, by the fire, that he ran down the hill and missed the very thing that God was trying to give him. And so I say to you, stop being scary. Stop running away from God. Run towards him. Allow him to minister to you. Allow him to give you revelation of his word and what he has for you. And we can't get that unless we're in commune with him, a vertical alliance. If we're not in a vertical alliance with him, we can't get it. And he's calling us to a vertical alliance. His word says that if you abide in him and his word abide in you, you could ask what you will and it be given. He's saying relationship. Being in relationship with him give you some perks. It keeps you from the flames of the fire. The fire is to come, but they won't burn you. They won't destroy you. And don't think that just because you have a relationship with God that the fires won't come. They are coming. But those fires now, instead of being fires that came to destroy you, they're fires that came to refine you. And purify you. So I want to just take a moment, and I want to open up the line. So if you are listening in on tonight, because I know this message is for somebody. And if you're listening on tonight and this message blessed you, or you have a comment, or maybe you have a question, or maybe you just don't agree, and that's fine. But I will have you to dial 1 on your dial pad. That'll let our team know that you have a question or a comment about tonight's show. Oftentimes, Coach D, you all that's been following Processing the Pain over the last 3 years, there's times where I bring guests, and there's times where I believe that God just wants me to speak his word. And it's good having guests. I love having quality, great guests that come in and they share what God has given them and they share their testimony. But there are times when, as much as I would rather avoid it, if there's times where, as much as I would rather go in a different direction, I know when I know that God is saying, I need you to speak this word to my people. Somebody needs to hear it. Somebody's going through. Somebody feels hopeless. Somebody feels like I left them in the midst of the fire. And their visibility is bad. Their eyes are irritated. They're watery. They can't see. They're choking. They're coughing. And at this point, the only thing they're trying to do is get out with their life. They need a lifesaver. And on tonight, God is saying, I'm that lifesaver. Tonight, God is saying, I'm that lifesaver. Come to me. All that are burdened and heavy laden, come to me and I'll give you rest. That's a call to discipleship. But he's saying, I'll give you what you need. He said, it's the anointing. What's the anointing? It's the presence of God, that fire, that anointing of God that's on us that breaks the yokes. And we need to know that. We need to know that he's there, that he loves us, that he hasn't left us, that he's preparing us. And all he needs for you to do is be a willing vessel to say, yes, I'll go. He didn't ask you to be perfect. He's not asking you anything other than to say, yes, I'll go. And allow him to begin to work out in you all the imperfections. Allow him to begin to work out in you what he needs to give you what you need for the journey. What man is sent on the journey and not given the tools that he needs to take the journey? When we send our kids off to college, we give them everything that they need once they get to college. So that's a journey for them. It's a new journey that they go through. When they graduate from high school, and I'm not saying everybody could send their kids to college, but this is an analogy. You know, our kids graduate from high school, and if we've been preparing throughout their high school years, we're preparing to send them away from college. We're preparing them for the journey of life. So we make sure that their college tuition is paid. We make sure that they got any financial aid or whatever they're going to need, scholarships. We make sure that they're going to have proper housing. We make sure that they have a little bank account where we put cash in there weekly or monthly for them to have spending money. We make sure that they're going to eat. We prepare them. We don't just send them out there and say, okay, you're going to college, get out of here, bye. No, why? Because we love them. That's our children. And we want to make sure that they have everything they need to succeed. Even when they get there and party and don't go to classes and end up failing out the first semester. Because we're their parents and we love them, we still prepared them for the journey. And God is not going to call you and send you on a journey unprepared. He's not going to call you and send you on a journey unprepared. So he's saying we got to trust him. We got to believe in him. We got to be in relationship with him. How many of us sent our kids to college and we prepared them and we did all of this preparation and we sacrificed and gave and sacrificed and gave. And then our kids get to college and all of a sudden we don't hear from them for weeks. I don't know about you, but I know if I send my son to college after all this sacrifice and I try to reach him and couldn't hear from him for a week or two, I would be concerned. The first is concern, but then once I found out that he was okay, I would be a little irritated. Oh, as a matter of fact, let's just keep it real. I would be pissed that I didn't sacrifice, boy. I didn't send you to college. I'm spending money. I'm making sure that your needs are met, and then I'm calling you, and you won't even pick up your phone. And you ain't somewhere knocked out? Now, I'm sure that God don't operate like that, but I'm just trying to imagine, because he is my Heavenly Father. I'm just trying to imagine how he feels when we get so busy with life, when we get so busy trying to make a dollar, when we get so busy trying to have the material things in life, the spouse and the home and the cars, to the degree that we forget to answer his call. Woo! We forget to answer his call. And he's been pulling on you for years. And you know you got a call on your life. You know that there's something inside of you. There's a ministry inside of you. But you've been trying to ignore it because you're too busy doing you. You know how we get. I'm doing me. I'll catch you on when I come back around. But he calling you because he's already prepared you, or he's trying to prepare you. He done met every need. He blessing you, but you won't answer the call. I don't know if some of y'all could relate to that, because I could relate to that, because it was a long time before I wanted to answer the call. It was a long time before I picked up the phone and said yes. And how many of you are not saying yes? And I think it's good to serve. I think it's good to be connected to a body of believers, a fellowship, what we know as, or what we call the church. We are the church, but I'm talking about the building of church, the organization of church. That's a great thing. I think that's honorable, and I think that's a good thing to do. But don't get so busy, caught up doing ministry, you know, serving, that you miss or forget what God's called you to do. Some of us get busy doing what we think is right, doing good things. And you heard me say this before, that just because it's a good thing don't mean it's a God thing. And if God ain't told you to do it, no matter how honorable it is, no matter how good it is, no matter how many people you feed and clothe and serve, if God didn't tell you to do it, then it's just a good thing. But it's not a God thing. And it still could be considered as disobedience. And the Word of God tells us that obedience is better than sacrifice. So we could sacrifice all day, every day. But if we're not obedient, it's still disobedience. Procrastination is still disobedience. Staying with God, staying when God told you to go is disobedience. Going when God told you to stay is disobedience. So no matter what it is you're doing, if God hasn't told you to do it, then His blessings are not upon it. It's considered disobedience. And if we stay in that disobedience for too long, we'll begin to notice, because there's always going to be uncomfortability before, you know, it's always going to be uncomfortability. You're going to be uncomfortable. You're going to start feeling a certain way. tossing and turning. Generally, pain is the indicator that something's wrong. I'm going to say that again. Pain is an indicator that something's wrong. Our body will start displaying pain. We'll start feeling pain in our body. And that's normally telling us that something's wrong. You need to go get checked out. See what's going on in your body. Same thing in the natural as it is in the spiritual. Because the spiritual supersedes the natural. So when we start getting unrest in our spirit, when we start going feeling a certain kind of way, when we start, when we start seeing the smoking and choking, you know, the inflammation, the runny eyes, the wheezing in the bronchial tubes, the gloomy, doomy, distressed, depressed, frightened, afraid. When we start feeling all those things, those are indicators that something's going on. Hearken, listen, look, pray, seek God, find out what's going on in our lives during those times. What is God trying to tell you? Again, I want to extend the offer that if you're listening in on tonight's broadcast and you have a question or a comment, please dial 1. That'll let our team know that you have a question or a comment. We would love to hear your comments regarding tonight's show. If you have a question, we would love to hear your question. Don't be shy. Dial 1 on your dial pad. We would love to hear from you. Again, tonight's show was about consumed but not condemned. We spoke about, we came from Exodus chapter 24, verses 12 through 18. We talked about the consuming fire. We talked about the presence of the Lord. We talked about in the natural what clouds and smoke and fire does to us, and we correlate that with the spiritual. You know, about being unconscious and being in disobedience, and not recognizing when God is utilizing you or ministering or trying to speak to you, not recognizing when you the difference between the fire that's going to destroy you and the fire that's refining you. You know, the fire in Sodom destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. That fire destroyed. But then the fire with the bush consumed. It was a consuming fire. It was the presence of God. And so we're learning the difference, and you'll learn the difference in your life. So now when fire comes, you'll know whether it's a fire to purify or it's a fire to destroy. And you'll begin to learn that, so you'll know how to pray. You'll know how to pray to God. You'll know how to seek God, and you'll know what you need to say or what you need to do. Sometimes you don't need to say or do nothing. You need to be still and hear God. You need to be in the attitude of worship. Praying is us talking to God. Worship is God talking to us. And sometimes we talk too much. Nothing wrong with praying. God tells us to pray without ceasing. Sometimes we talk too much, and sometimes we need to be still and enter into his presence in a spirit of worship and allow God to speak to us so that we can hear him and we'll know how to move. Don't get too busy. And I'm not just saying that for you. I hear that God he speaks it to me. Don't get too busy, Coach D. Don't get busy with work. Don't get busy with ministry. Don't get so busy that you don't be still long enough to hear me. And I know because I'm starting to learn me and my relationship with my Father. And I know when I start getting antsy, when I start murmuring and complaining that I done got busy and I'm not being still long enough to hear God, that I may be stepping out of order. And I need to get back into alignment so I can hear what he's saying. So again, I want to thank my listening audience. Thank you for listening in on tonight. One of the things I'm going to do tonight that I don't normally do, and you're more than welcome to stay in, but there is a song that's just been humming in my heart all evening. And so before we close out the show on tonight, I'm going to play that song. And I just hope it bless you. It's to encourage you and hope that you just take the word, what it's saying. This is a new day. No, it don't matter what happened yesterday. It don't matter what happened earlier today, an hour ago, 2 hours ago. It don't matter what happened last week. It don't matter what you did last month. This is a new day. And he said his mercies are new every morning. And so you under new mercies. And when we're under new mercies and we don't take advantage of those new mercies, why not take advantage of them? You're under new mercies. You have the ability to repent. You have the ability to turn away from that thing. You have a new now. And so on that note, know that you are loved and appreciated. I thank you for your support. Continue to tune in weekly at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on Tuesday and Thursday evening. And we are just excited, and we will be continuing. The MCD Network and our family of broadcasts are going to continuously bring to you good word and good and great guests. And we want to continue to encourage you and empower you and educate you. So we love you, and I hope you are blessed on this song. Have a good evening.
I can feel it in this place tonight. Spirit of the Lord is here, breaking chains up, lifting heavy loads. Hey, yeah. Something's happening in this atmosphere. They need to sing prophetically right now. Let's see. I can see.